Hey everyone, this is a very special episode of Latinos Out Loud, one that we wish we didn't have to be doing. A few weeks ago, we lost a member of the LOL family, a good friend, Jose Tibby Toribio, but we just know him as Tibby. One word, you know, iconic, one word, Tibby, like Madonna or Cher or Shaggy. But we love Tibby. You know, we wanted to do a show for him, you know, to talk about how much we loved him. And these are never easy, but we kind of wanted to make this more of a celebration of Tibby. We want to celebrate him and remember him and all the good times that we had with him. And he was a really integral part of the podcast for the last 2.5 years. And you know, I figure we can just get into it, share some memories, and just talk about the kind of person that he was for us personally, and just for the podcast, and just for everyone that knew him. And we're gonna have some other people that knew him as well throughout the show. Any memories of just Tibby as a person and what he meant to you?
Wow. Well, for me, guys, he's been heavily on my mind, obviously. This
This
has
is
been
Frank. This is Frank Nibs, by the way.
this is Frank Nibs. He's been heavily on my mind because last week was the year anniversary of our 100th episode. And he worked really hard on that show with all of us, you know. So he's been very, very heavily on my mind. Because of that, and obviously, because you know, it's only been I think 2 weeks since he's been gone, and we all obviously also did our last show at his house in the Heights. So you know, he's been heavily on my mind. He meant a lot to us. It's a big, big, huge loss for the LOL family, for me at least, you know, and I think for a lot of us. So yeah, a lot going through our minds, I would say.
And keeping on that show, like he played a really big part as for me on that show too. Like I think me, Frank, you and I were both in his house, and like after he was finished helping you with your segment, like then I came in and then he was helping me, and it was like he was juggling both. So it was pretty cool how he set that up, and he made my segment pop even more. He had the videos hooked up. He kind of like knew. He kind of made jokes funnier by just some of the stuff, the pictures that he chose. And that's a big part of him. That people that knew him well, he had a really good sense of humor. He was really
He
funny.
had a lot of patience because to work with Frank Spiracy was a 3 week
Ay, mi madre.
Frank during that
ESPN
show
30
was
for 30
like, yo,
special programming there.
Frank was like adding things every day. Like, yo, nah, I kind of want
Yo,
to do
Tibby.
something. Can we do some claymation, Tibby?
Yo, all I know was we had like a meeting. Like, this was like 3 weeks before, and I'm like, okay, cool. And it was like El Aqueo, his spot. And Frank is there. He's like, yo, no, Tibby, listen, I brought my laptop. I got this going here. Yeah, cool. And like 3 weeks later, it's still another time in there. So the dude was very, very patient. But he took a lot of pride for that show. And one of the things that I think that naturally, he was such a humble dude because he has so many different skills. Like, he proved his skills with the photoshopping during the live show because of the stuff with your segment, Jamie, on me. I didn't even know about it. I thought that Anthony was the only one in our crew that could do the photoshopping, but here he comes. He did the photoshopping stuff. So that's one thing that always impressed me was that he had a lot of knowledge and he always seeked it and he was always able to be that yes man on any type of thing. And what's been so crazy is that some of the guests we've had is through him and they've known him and he's known them for a while. And so even when we had Jonathan Fernandez on the show, he knew Jonathan Fernandez. So it's like he constantly knew a lot of people and a lot of people that had a great impression of him. And I don't think there's a single soul that ever had anything bad to say about him. So beyond the podcast, of course, because you know his work will always live on, but I think as a human being, even to the point where I gotta say this, but like, you know, I got to see some, I didn't have to go to the movie theater because of him. He found a way to find some stuff and send it. And like, you know, he just
All
knew.
right, let's not get him in trouble.
Right.
yo, like, I, you know, I can't get him. Him up.
Yo, the FBI can't get him.
With some movies that were still in the movie theaters, but, you know, I'm not going to tell you how.
I felt, yo, I did, you know when you have that friend that's like, yo, oh, you want to see Bad Boy? And I'm like, you can get it. He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh man, but I feel guilty. But like, I bet, get that shit for me, please. But that's the thing about him. Like, I think he has that quality, and the fact that he started off coming to our live shows when we were doing it at Univision to being the sound person, studying it, then working his way up because of the passion. And then to hear that he did the same thing for other people. Like, he was that go-to person that would watch a TV show. If you were on TV, he would record it and then send it to you so you could put it up on social media without asking. So this is a man that had very, it was just unlimited about the giving, you know, and it's very rare in 2020, especially in the times of social media, me, to have an individual who thought others first. And so to see that is why I say he's an angel, because it's not common for that in this era of time that you think, oh, he invested so much time in LOL. But no, he did it with the wrestling. He did it with everything. He got, every time I went to a show, he was there. I remember I went to a Deezus Amaro show, not saying anything. And there he is going into the Deezus Amaro show. I'm like, this dude had a hack that he knew every event. Like, I think he created an app on his phone and he knew all our mutual shows. And he would know it. And so I think that goes to show you that not that many human beings are wired like him. And he's just a special person. And I think that for us, it was a blessing to have him for 2.5 years a part of the team. And I think that that's the positive, how I see it. It's a huge loss, but I just got to say, like, it's just unmatched in all the time that I've met people, how giving and how self-taught he was.
Yeah. I definitely echo your thoughts on his, like, stake in the creative circle, even just among our comedy friends. And I definitely have to highlight what he did for us ladies in the space, too. I mean, this man was at every single Hilarious show. He did not miss one. And not only that, but he took the time to take pictures and provide them to us after the show, so we didn't have to come out of pocket and pay for a photographer. Like, we always knew Tibby got our back and he was going to be there to provide all the images that we need for everything, social media posting, our resumes, our websites. So he was just such a strong, not only proponent, but supporter of us in this sketch comedy and even larger comedy space. And Tibby was so funny. You know, we would be kicking it outside the building, outside the studio all the time, and Tibby always came with jokes and always was like, you know, I have this idea for a segment, or, you know, he wasn't afraid to be as creative as possible. And like you said, he dipped into spaces that I don't think anybody who would be concentrating of any in any of the spaces that he was in would dare to dip into. Like, the editors we know are editors. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know very many people that could be as renaissance as Tibby was.
Yo, like, from the bottom of my heart, like, there were so many episodes that I'm like, yo, how's this Bochincha Bites going to be funny? And just Tibby just knew how to super edit and make it funny. Like, I just thought there were going to be some episodes I'm like, yo, Jamie just didn't have it. Like, he was not funny. He was flat.
Damn, Jamie.
And then Tibby just went,
why
created this material? And I'm like, that's when I knew the dude
tribute
was
to someone, and you still got to hit me with some insult.
And he was a genius. Yeah. He just knew how to. I think he took old clips from old Bochincha Bites and entered it in and just like. Yeah.
Tibby was here, he'd be shaking his head. Not cool.
Yeah.
Well, Rachel, going back to you, I heard that, you know, talking about all the different circles that he was involved in, but I heard that all these big-time wrestlers were giving him all these tweets and all these shout-outs on Twitter. I don't know if, you know, Mike and Jamie know about that.
Well, but yeah. Look, they had a whole Zoom, and I think our guest in a little bit is going to talk more about that maybe, but they had a whole Zoom thing with him, for him on this weekend. Over 50 people. that knew him were there.
Wow.
And more than half were mentioning how important wrestling was to him and how important wrestling was to that community of friends. Like, they took wrestling very seriously, and it was kind of, it was a big deal. And that's how they kind of be, a lot of times that's how they became friends, and that's how they have so many memories that are linked to that. So he was really a huge fan of it, but I think it was like a bigger thing. It was like, it really meant a lot to him and his life, and the fact that these real life wrestlers were tweeting at him, because he would go to these events. He would go to like cruises. They had like wrestling cruise before Tibby. I didn't know they had wrestling cruises. he would go there, and they would know him. It would be like one of those things where I think they would just be like, "Hey Tibby," you know what I mean? And they took pictures, and so.
You went to soft porn cruises, which was different. But when you heard Titty saying things, wrestling ones, they were like, oh, shit, that shit exists.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Moving on. I don't know.
Any other stories, Frank?
Well, you know, the thing that hurts me the most about Tibby is, you know, Mike and I had this conversation. He has so many plans going forward, you know. You know, Tibby wanted to do a lot of different things. And, you know, when we used to take our cab rides back and back from the studio, he always, you know, we used to talk about stuff and getting out on 181st and Fort Washington and buying our food before we go home. We would always talk about his future plans. So that's what I'm left with a lot, you know, what he wanted to do in the future. So that's what gets me sometimes in a downward spiral that he couldn't live out his dream, so to speak. You know what I mean?
You had some moments where you kind of like, he would have a perfect 5.0 Uber rating, but you and the Uber rides reduced it a little bit there. So, yeah.
Well, you know, it was always the Ubers were always on the Tibby. So he never liked me to talk to the driver. You know, he always wanted a perfect rating. You know, Frank always, you know, goes a little overboard sometimes. And always, Tibby always
like, I know what I'm doing. I'm an Uber driver. I know what I'm doing. It's like, no, wait. Yeah. But no, I think it was one thing too. Like, I think eventually he was going to want to do a wrestling podcast since you know, that space needed it. So that's the other thing about it too. Like, you know, to be honest, it's like, it's unfortunate that someone that grew a lot with us, you know, had the potential of doing different stuff down the road from what he learned from us, and then boom. So I think that hurts, and that's where we're at right now, right? With this whole, this whole environment that we're going on right now. And this year's been really freaky with so many people passing away and so many celebrities. I mean, it started with Kobe. So I think that's the thing. It's like what I've learned is that we can't take life for granted. And that's an example, because Tibby definitely had plans of doing some stuff, learning from us, but then combining it with the passion that he's had even prior to us.
It's hard also for people that even from Jump Street don't deal well with death. I mean, I don't really know. Does anybody deal well with death? I never met a person that was like, hey, I'm Rachel and I'm really good with death. So if anybody got an issue about death,
come to me. I dated a girl that was, she worked at a funeral home. She was pretty good with it.
Yeah?
Okay. Dead ass. She would, okay. People that work at funeral homes have a totally different level of sense of humor. It is, yo, they're on some other level, because all they do is sacar sangre y toda esa vaina y entero. And it's like, yo, we only went on 2 dates because I was like, yo, you're like, this is crazy. But yeah, people that work at funeral homes, they're pretty good with it.
Well, that's a small circle, so maybe I'll look into that too. But I've been
Was she attracted to you because you're always stiff on camera?
No, this is before my stiffing acting abilities. This is like way before that.
Sorry.
But she still stays in touch with me, and she enjoys your work, though.
All right, guys, let's go to a little commercial break, huh?
Just because I've been learning that different religions really think of the concept of death very different. And that may help, because if I may speak personally, I'm one of those people that really doesn't do well in these situations. So, you know, you can imagine, I think death has an emotional toll on everyone, but I'm really trying to flip the script and use the education process to figure out how can I commemorate people who I love who are passing more, instead of grieving them more. and how can I celebrate them more? So I'm really glad we're doing this for Tibby. And we have other people that would like to join us to commemorate and celebrate his life. So if I may, can I introduce our first Zoom crasher for the evening?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, Ariel.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Awesome. Figured I'll go on video too. Hey.
Yay! How's it going?
Be shy, bro. Don't be shy.
Dude, I'm like this right now.
So Ariel, first of all, the Zoom kind of celebration we have for Tibby, right? This Saturday that you set up was great. I mean, it was so many of Tibby's friends. Beautiful. His uncle was there, said some stuff, and people were just sharing really like their memories about him and how he affected them and this type of person that he is, you know what I mean? And we all like learn new things about him too from other people. So just talk to me about how you felt leading it, right?
Me and one of my close friends, his name is Jordan. We knew Tibby through college, and even after college, like, we kept in touch. We got involved in each other's lives. Like, Tibby was one of the groomsmen at like Jordan's wedding. In the memorial, I kind of connected the dots. I was like, man, Tibby's kind of been Cupid for a lot of people at this get together, because there's a lot of people that end up getting married, stuff like that, or like they've, you know, he's been a witness to weddings and stuff. And in my mind, I was like, Tibby, man, you left before I even got married. Come on, yeah. Right? So, but it was a surprise to see that many people. It's a total shock. I thought it was going to be like 10, 20 people. Nope. We had about like 60 people at this memorial.
Wow.
Which was pretty insane. Like, I wanted to take a screenshot, but then I figured, nah, I'd rather just keep it a little private, you know. But that was something in my heart. I feel like it needed to be done. We're in a very unique set of circumstances where we can't go to like a funeral, like a memorial and stuff. So there's no way to get that sense of comfort where it's like, you know, you're in the house, you're either indoors or you're not socializing enough. And this was kind of like a big social gathering where it's like, you know, it helps kind of ease the pain a little bit with people that knew him and people that might have the same kind of experiences, you know, with a guy like Tibby. So,
Ariel, you know, one thing that like really caught me was that, like we were saying prior, was it's like he put so much time in the podcast. And yet you're hearing all this other stuff as far as like the man had a way of defying time. Has he always been like that? Like, and he's always been like, he does a lot of stuff, but he's low key. Talk a little bit maybe how he was in college and like that essence of him.
Oh man. Like, let me tell you. So Tibby in college, he was, well, think about it this way. Like, this was like in the late aughts. So this is before like you could stream stuff online and stuff. So Tibby would have a collection of like movies, right? So he would basically, we'll all meet up in the cafeteria because we were like a big part of like a video game club. So he had like a really big hard drive where you can carry stuff around for either for class or like, you know, because he had a laptop as well. So he was like our go-to when it came to movies and stuff. I'm like, hey man, listen, you got Crank 1? And like, we didn't even, he's like, just give me your USB stick, I'll see you after class. Come back. My USB stick had like the movie and a handful of other stuff, or even better at the memorial, because I know I'm not the only person, but like Jordan even mentioned that there's been times where you'll ask for a specific episode, even the most obscure stuff, and Tibby would give you like a whole season of like shows. So it got to a point where we call them Blockbuster. Because like he had all the movies. He was the plug. He was like the college plug. And then I joked with him one day where this is when Netflix started taking off with the streaming stuff. And I joked, I was like, Tibby, man, they're putting you out of business. You see what they're doing? he's like, nah, I'm still Blockbuster. Like, I still, you know, you have a USB stick, I'll load up like five episodes or whatever. But Tibby was always he had a weird sense of like being able to dilute time. Like we had 24 hours and like, I don't know how we both had 24 hours, but with him, it was like 48 or 72. It was like 3 days worth of like time condensed. Mm. So, like, you know, he would handle, he would work on the podcast with you guys. And, like, every once in a while, I'll send him some memes cause just to keep him occupied, just to make him laugh. And the funny thing with him was whenever I would look for some material to, like, craft the meme, he was the source. Boggles my mind. I don't even know how, but that's what that's the kind of guy Tibby was. He's the guy that kind of how does my mom say it? Le sigue corriente. Like, he would just keep things going with you. Like, if you came in with like a certain amount of energy, he's the one that kept it going. You know, so.
And a great sense of humor too. Like, that's the thing about it. Like, he just, that sense of humor of his is just like.
Well, I had conversations with him where he was like, he still kind of, you know, had a goal of like getting up on stage and doing stand up. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, I'm trying to get material. And this was probably like just last year. And we were talking in a cab and he was just talking to me about how, like, all he needs to do is have a set, like what he wants to say. And he was going to eventually try stand up. So yeah. He had a lot of these like goals and hidden talents, even that we don't even know that he had done.
Even at the memorial, like, you know, you have friends that knew him since high school. And like, I didn't know even since high school that he had, like, he was into like musicals. And then I look back, right? Cause you start thinking about stuff. I'm like, wait, I remember one time I told him that I had gone on a date to go see like Avenue Q, and he was curious about it. And I was like, he wasn't to musicals. I didn't know that. He was just like, oh, it was cool, right? Like with the Muppets and stuff. I was like, yeah, it was amazing. He's like, you like some of the songs? I was like, yeah. You know.
Well, you know, also, again, kudos to you for putting it together, especially in the times that we're at right now. It's difficult, and you did an amazing job. You're everybody is friends, but that goes to show you he's such a giving person that it was easy to give back in the sense of the way he was as a human being. And yeah. Even the money that was being raised kept getting pushed up because just people just knew, and it's just that energy.
Oh, man. Like, we set up the GoFundMe, I think, like I think like that weekend, like I think either that Saturday or that Sunday. And the initial goal was kind of small, kind of modest, right? And then by the end of the night, less than 24 hours, beat that goal by a few $100s. And then it just kept going up and everyone kept matching the goal. So I'm like, whoa, what is going on? And like, I haven't even, like, I initially posted it on my Facebook group and stuff, but like, I didn't really push it out in my social medias yet. So I'm like, oh, this is going to do numbers by the end of the week, because I haven't even made the rounds on Instagram, Twitter and stuff. So, you know, I was just like, I told this family, I'm like, listen, there's going to be a bit of a tsunami coming. Like, just give it time.
Yeah. And that's the thing about it too. It was a thing that if you met him once, he left an impression. So I know exactly. That just and that's the other thing too, is like, even the way you shared your energy about him, you didn't have to know him, where again, like, this GoFundMe proved it. Like, people just wanted to share because that's how great of a person he was.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I did want to let his family know. I'm like, listen, like, everybody that Tibby met, no one ever had a bad thing to say about him. Like, he got along with everyone, and the amount of people that donated to his GoFundMe and everything, that says a lot. That says that all the friendships that he had with all these people were genuine.
Yeah. Well, speaking of friendships, we have someone else that wants to say a few words, a good friend of Tibby. Ariel, you're welcome to stay with us and kick it, or you can bounce. It's really up to you. But why don't we bring in fellow comedian and very good friend of Tibby, Julie Tran.
Ooh. Julie.
Woo!
Hey, Julie.
Julie.
Julie. Hey, girl, how are you?
Hi.
Hola.
Hola.
Hello.
Julie got like a really, you can't see if this is obviously a podcast audio, but she has a really cool background. It's just the sky. It's very deep.
Yeah.
I want to write poetry, like, looking at your background.
You want to kick it real quick, Jamie? You want to, like, just free verse it? Go ahead.
Maybe after the after show.
Yeah. Julie, we're talking about memories that we have with Tibby and, you know, what an impact he left on this world. I kind of alluded to it earlier in just stating how much of a supporter he was for females in the comedy space. But I am so thankful to Tibby because he brought me you. And I would not have met you if it weren't for Tibby. I mean, maybe eventually, because, you know, you're in sketch comedy, you're part of Slap Nuts comedy, and our circles were bound to cross. But I'm so thankful because what we have is special too. So tell us a little bit about you know, your memories or anything you want to say.
I mean, he was very, very enthusiastic and excited about connecting us. I mean, I had wanted to connect with you when I had seen your show back in, like, I think it was somewhere up in the Heights on, like, for a Valentine's Day show 6 years ago. and it was fantastic. But I have a few very distinct memories of Jose. And one, when I was going through my divorce, I had this open document that I was that I had shared with my ex at the time, because he had issues with sharing feelings, and so I figured this would be a good way to communicate. And after we finally separated, I was like, I told Jose, I don't want to look at that document anymore, but I also want to know if there's anything that I should know if he happens to visit it maybe a week later or something. So Jose was like, no, give me the link. I'll look at it. I'll check it every day and I'll let you know if anything comes from it. And there was a time where there was an entry where, like, my ex, like, gave feelings and he was like, well, I don't think you should read it. It's not important to you, but don't worry about it. and then when I got back on the dating scene, I was like, I don't know how to do this. And he's like, well, you could just open up a dating profile. And I said, dude, I don't want to get random dick pics. And he said, don't worry, I will monitor your dating page. So what he did was he created the profile for me, because I didn't want to do it, but I did, but I didn't. And he would check my messages every day and gave me the all clear to communicate with anyone who seemed like a nice enough guy.
Yeah, it sounds like Tibby.
I think my favorite was when it came for my wedding and with my real husband. And I said, I'm not having a videographer. I'm just going to have a photographer. But, you know, it's just going to be here and there. And he's like, no, you've got to have a videographer. These are moments that you need to keep. And I said, nah, it's no big deal. I've done this before. Yeah, it's fine. But he was insistent, and he took a seat right in the middle of the floor of my wedding and filmed the ceremony. He, without asking, he filmed our first dance. And he filmed the dance with my husband and his mother. These are all things that I did not ask him to do, but he just knew that they were special moments that I would need later on. And he's just that type of person to think about that. I've known him for, I want to say, almost a decade. We connected working on a web series. I had written a web series, and we were just looking for a camera guy. And through my friend Patrick, they said, oh, I know this guy who's great with the camera. And Jose comes over and just starts shooting and then offers to edit. And then we just all became the closest of friends. He became a very big part of my life, where we talked every day. Like, I don't talk to people a lot. I'm not very social. so it's a lot when one of the four people that you communicate with on a regular basis kind of disappears. But that's okay, because he's with family now. And he left us with amazing memories that no one can take. And I'm thankful for that.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Tibby was like that even in college. Like, Tibby would just take pictures. And I don't know how, like, I think that's a part of the healing process, like recovering his equipment, things like that. But I'm pretty sure he has like hard drives full of photos, memory cards full of photos.
Oh, definitely.
He was kind of obsessive in a way of just capturing moments. Even, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, he took care of so many of the little things that no one really notices until you really have a thought about it. Like, oh, you know, he's there, but oh, he's taking photos and all this stuff. You think about that later on, and then you realize, yeah, Tibby took care of it.
Go ahead, Julie.
I was going to say, not for nothing, it takes a lot of confidence for somebody to volunteer to do these things for people. Like, I really respect Tibby's confidence and outlook on life, and that, yo, I could do this, so I'm just going to raise my hand and be like, hey, I could do this, and then do a good job, and all right, see you at the next one. I don't know anybody else like that, but please continue, Julie.
Oh, well, I was just going to say that, so between myself, him, and our friend Patrick, sometimes we'd send each other photos or even small, just like snippets of videos of ourselves. And Patrick's just collected a bunch of pictures and small videos of Jose to respond as memes now. So like, there's one of him on a pillow just going, no. So now whenever we just disagree with something, we just post that little video of him. And it's really nice to have him as a gift.
Yeah.
And we were talking earlier just about how much of a gift he was to so many different circles, including the wrestling circle. And we had a wrestler on the show, and she wanted to pop in and showcase her feelings for Tibby. So let's welcome back to the Latinos Out Loud podcast, Marti Bell, people.
Yeah.
Hey, girl, how are you?
Probably move this glass bottle out of the way.
Well, what's in it? That's what I want to know.
It was a bottle of wine that I polished off this morning. So,
wow. It's always wine time.
You know? Cheers. It's 5 o'clock. You're like drinking, I'm drinking water now.
All right, snooze fest. Well, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're together, which is beautiful. We're now like a complete rectangle with nine of us. Whoa. This is so Brady Bunch. It's adorable. But we are reminiscing on our dear friend, Tibby, who is basically becoming synonymous with the topic of wrestling. So maybe you can share with us a little bit about your POV, what's going on.
So it's pretty crazy. And first of all, thank you guys for including me in this. Thank you, Ari, for being the one who contacted me and let me know the unfortunate situation. And I said it the other day, I when I joined in on the Zoom you guys had for his memorial, I felt like it was weird because I felt like a stranger, you know, in aspect, because so many of you guys had known Tibby for so long and had, you know, been to high school with him, been to college with him. I know several people said that he was the reason that they were married, that had children, all that. And so I felt like, you know, I've only known him for maybe less than 2 years. So I felt like, you know, it was such a small thing, but it was so cool listening to everybody talk about him. And I think the biggest thing I took away from everything is that whether you knew him for 10 years or you knew him for 10 minutes, he made you feel so special, and he made you feel like you were so important. And that's what I got from him. I met him when I did the podcast, the Latinos Out Loud podcast. And I think he just messaged me afterwards and he was like, hey, nice to meet you. I took some pictures, here they are, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever. And then I found out he was a big wrestling fan. I started seeing him at our Shine event in Queens. And I think what so many people, it was just so crazy listening to people talk about it, because I was like, oh, like I experienced that in 2 years, like, you know, where he was like, he helped me with my acting reel. And It was crazy. I never, ever, ever had to tell him, hey, I did a new project. He would message me and be like, hey, you did this thing. I just saw a post for it. It's in the Dropbox. Let me know if you want to update it. And sometimes it'd be stuff where I'm like, no, like it was like a little small. He's like, no, it's in the Dropbox. Whatever you need. I got you. I got you. And I think that was like the most, that to me was like the most special thing because, you know, I'm like, ¿y quién soy yo? Like, he doesn't even know me. Like, why is he doing it? You know, so sometimes when people are nice to you and you don't know them, right away you're like, okay, why? Like, what do you want? What are you going to ask me for? And he not once asked for anything other than, hey, what's up? How are you doing? Like, that was it. Like, he was doing everything he ever did was just out of the kindness of his own heart. And I feel like I said, it's crazy to me because I feel like, you know, I barely knew him. And here was this complete stranger just doing all these nice, sweet things. We did a fundraiser for NF. We did this big, big fundraiser and we're trying to raise a bunch of money. We had like, we set a very, very hefty goal in a very small amount of time. And I remember he messaged me and before I even had a chance to respond to him that, like I was emailing everybody as they donated, thanking them. He was like, hey, you know, I donated this morning. And I was like, yes, thank you so much. I saw that. He's like, well, until when do we have to donate? Cause I'm gonna send it out to all of my friends so they all know. And I'm like, dude, like, thank you. Like he could have just been like, all right, cool. Here's my money. Like whatever. But he went out of his way to make sure that other people also got involved. And it was just, it's the more I listened to people talking about him on Saturday, the more I was like, holy shit, man. I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm allowed to curse, but like, holy shit.
Oh, good.
We should, like, there was just so many things where I'm just like, that's the kind of person we should all aspire to be, you know? If your friend is in the military and moves to Japan, text them, check in on them. And it was just so many story after story. And I was only in the chat for like a half hour. And even then I was like, damn, like that's crazy. And that's just, I feel like just such a testament of who he was and obviously who he continues to be, even though his body may have left this earth, but obviously I don't think anytime soon anybody's going to forget all the amazing things he did for complete strangers like myself.
Wow.
It's very beautiful. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah,
it's
so hot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You need more wine. You need some more wine.
I think so. I gotta go get some more.
Yeah, it's a lot, especially in like to your point, hearing the stories, it just kind of echoes throughout your soul. Like, oh yes, my thought was right. He was an angel on earth. Like, it just goes to show you. And where did he get the time, you guys? I don't fucking
know. That, I think, is another thing that really, really blew my mind was when everybody was talking about all the things he did. And it's like, how? How did, because he even told me one day, at one of the last conversations we had, he asked me if I needed help with my reel again. And I was like, no, I'm good. I have a Patreon account. So he was like, if you need help editing videos or you need, you know, to put anything together. And I was like, no, I'm doing all right. Like I'm like slowly learning. So I'm like, no, I'm good. I think I'm good for now, especially with right now, all we have is time. So I was like, no, I think I'm good. He's like, yeah, right now I'm working on something for a tease. One of the guys in AEW, who's another New York guy. And I'm just like, damn, that's crazy. And I know that he told me he had taken on a bigger role at the podcast too, doing more stuff there. And he had a full-time job that he was still working at. It wasn't like, you know, a lot of us are able to stay home and kind of, I'm able to work more on my website kind of stuff because, you know, I'm not doing shows right now, but this is a guy who's working full-time, who's doing stuff with the podcast, who's reaching out to people to see, like, did he get a few extra hours in the day? Like, did his day have 26 hours and all of us had 24? I think that was really another thing that just made me go like, but it just shows you like when you want to do something, you will find time for it. I think that's one thing. I unfortunately don't know everybody here on the chat. So I don't know how, you know, what your relationship was with him and stuff, but I feel like what I've gathered from everybody is that he made time for people. And that's something that I think we all need to take away from this when we all go back to our busy lives, our busy schedules, we're working, blah, blah, blah. take the time. It takes you 5 seconds to shoot a text off and be like, hey man, how are you doing? Hey, do you need something? Anytime he saw that I was in New York and I was posting Mangu, he's like, yo, I'm there. What's up? What are you doing? What are you cooking? You know, and I feel like that's so important. And we forget about that when we're living our busy lives. But I also think on the other side, it's important to know that there are friends that don't hold that against you. That when you hit them up and you're like, yo, what's up? They're like, oh, like no time has passed. And I feel like that's also something that he was very, very good at. He didn't make you feel guilty about not having text back right away or not having. It was like, yo, everything's good. Everything's chill. Mm.
You know, it's so funny. I never said this before, but anytime I was on like a TV or anything like that, Anthony Palmini, shout outs to him, would be my go-to guy to like cut it up and send it so I could put it on Instagram. And Tibby took that job away. Like literally, I'm there was one, I think one of the last times Ant would be like, yo, you want me to do that? I'm like, nah, Tibby already did it for me. It's like, yo, just like how we were saying, like, how does he have the time? I felt bad. I had to break it to Anthony. I was like, yo, Ant, I know you're my go-to guy, but yo, Tibby took your job, bro. Yo, you already did the edit. I got it already. So it's true. And one thing I didn't get the opportunity to say prior was that even we did Gente de Thrones, which was really warm out. We had to walk all over Fort Trinan. And here's a man that did not make a peep, no complaining, nothing. We had to put him on a stepladder because we wanted to make him like he was like 7 feet tall. And he never complained all day. And he did his thing. And even that, he's just so professional and so on point. And he had some of the most memorable parts in it where he was just such a natural, even when it came to acting. So I have to just say that before I forget.
Even was, he had a little bit part in the thing you just posted.
With the wrestling.
Week. Yeah. And
guess what?
And so that was cool seeing him in there because I didn't even know he was in that and just seeing him kind of have fun in the background.
But that was him with nice the ring. He was the one who hooked it up. He was the one that contacted that wrestling thing that I didn't even know.
He messaged me. Did you guys end up shooting in the Bronx?
We shot at the... Yeah.
He hit me up and he was like, hey, do you know of any places? And I was like, yeah, I have this place. Like, these are the people that I know. And I think that's how he ended up talking to Santana and Ortiz. And that's how he ended up... That's another thing. Like, I feel like it was so easy for him to, like, make friends. Like, you know, that could have been a relationship where he was like, hey, man, we're going to use your ring. And that's it. And it ended there. But he ended up doing editing work for, doing stuff for him. I feel like he was also really good at seeing what people needed. And like, I knew I had to put a reel together and I knew that I had to like, you know, work on that. And it wasn't something that it was like pressing on me. And so when he asked me, he's like, can I help? I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, here's a few things that I have in mind. He found videos and like links on YouTube links. He's like, well, I couldn't find it here. So I found it here instead. I downloaded it. And I was like, oh, really? Like, I'm like, yo, he put more effort towards my projects than I put towards my projects. I'm like, how? Like, what? And I think that's also, like, I think his uncle was talking when he jumped on the memorial Zoom that we had the other day. And one thing he said is, like, also, when you have a friend like that, don't wait until they're gone to tell them how important they are to you and how much they mean to you. Because I feel like sometimes when someone's a constant in your life, they're there. You're like, oh, whatever, like, oh, I'll text him tomorrow, like, don't. And I unfortunately learned that I had a friend who passed away a few years ago, and a few days before he passed away, I remember seeing one of his posts on Instagram or on Facebook, and I went to comment on it, and I was like, no, it's whatever, I'll just hit like it. I was like, and then after he passed away, I was like, fuck, man, I should have told him how proud I was of him and how cool it was. And I think that's also very important, is don't wait till your friends are gone to tell them how important they are to you. I've been drinking today. I'm good now, but like this morning, it's like airport rules, nothing counts. And I was like, I was talking to my friends and I told one of my best friends, I was like, it's not because I'm drinking, but I love you, man. Like, I love you and I miss you and I can't wait to see you and I'm so excited. And I think that's something that we all really, that's one thing that we need to take away from this is don't wait. Don't wait to tell your friends how much you love them and how important they are to you, because you may not get that chance. And it's so cliche, like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's true. And I feel like, unfortunately, with this situation that we're all living right now, it's happening more and more. Like, we're not getting that chance to say goodbye to people that we love. And you never know when it's going to be. So don't wait. Like, just tell people how much you love them and don't be afraid to say it.
Well, I don't want to have to say goodbye. But we do have to wrap this episode, this tribute episode to our dear friend. So we definitely want to thank Ariel, Julie, and Marty for joining us and expressing such beautiful sentiments and helping Jose's memory carry on. And we love you guys. You know, we're fam. We're here for you, too. And if something pops up and you want to talk about it, let's just do what you guys are all saying. Be there for each other.
I'm excited to get back to New York, and you and me, we're gonna do the best two woman wrestling show that there ever was.
Wow, Rachel, you're gonna get in the ring.
Rachel's getting in the ring, y'all.
What do you think I'm working out for, people? What do you think I'm trying to lose all this weight for? Because I need to get in a fucking wrestling outfit and wrestle Marty Bell.
I always saw Rachel as like one of those managers from back in the day.
We joked about it, but uno relaja. You keep joking and joking, and all of a sudden she's like trying spandex on, and she's like, I don't know what's happening. So we'll see. It's gonna be
fun.
Well,
I already picked out my color theme, so get ready for it. A lot of fuchsia.
Yeah. Rachel's the person that like hits the referee when like no one's looking, and like
I'm into it. I'm digging it. I'm picking up what you're putting down. So
yo, thank that you guys was so much for fun. Sidebar.
Rachel's the type that she'll have her two sons are in the ring, and they're like beating up people in the private. And he's like, wow, what are you talking about? Pay attention. Like,
kicking them in the kneecap because they're toddlers and they can like reach people's kneecaps. It's a good move.
I'm all about it. So thank you guys for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
All right.
Well, that episode was somewhat hard for us to record, but we hope you enjoyed our tribute to Tibby. And we thought it would be a beautiful thing to leave you guys with a snippet of who he was through his own voice.
So, hey, guys. My name is Tibby.
Hi, Tibby.
Hi.
What do you do for the show?
What do you do?
What's your sign?
Where do you live?
What's your sign is most important?
I am a Leo. I live in Washington Heights.
Leo.
Wait, when's your birthday?
That
August 9th.
Yay!
Yeah. Wow. Leo season.
Wow.
So I just turned 34 now. So.
Congrats. And now what do you do for the Latinos Out Loud podcast?
Nothing. No, I'm just kidding. So
that's not true.
That's what Mike said. And I was like, no, he does a lot more than that.
I pretty much edit the social media content. So I do the promo videos, promo photos, and here and there. Now I got a new job in doing the editing for the show.
Yeah,
nice. Thank you so much, Tibby. Tibby, there was about 107 episodes that I had to listen to, and you know, the day after the Mike is more relaxed.
He's very relaxed.
I am so relaxed now.
Thank you for giving me that power of not sleeping.
Yes.
Also, thanks for editing out any like things that we regret saying.
Yeah, right.
Because we know it right when we say it. I'm sorry, Tibby, but thank you for doing that.
I hate you.
And talk about your growth, Tibby.
So I'm proud to say that I'm like one of the OG listeners of the show.
Mm. Hey.
I always hit up Rachel when I was listening to the show and everything mm-hmm. else, and I've always wanted to visit and see how the show goes. Next thing you know, they moved to the Univision building, and I'm like, mm-hmm. yo, I mean, Rachel, like, can I come one day? She's like, I'll let you know. And the next thing you know, Mike hit me up, and I officially went to some of the recordings and stuff.
What was your first episode that you came to visit us?
It was before the Curly episode.
Okay.
I think it might have been Andre Veloz.
The bachata
good one.
Yeah, so... And it was great. It was great to see you guys in action. And then next thing you know, more and more, I got to see Meryl live and everything else.
Yeah,
I'm like, you know what? I want to be into this. And next thing you know, the next season rolls around. There was one time where everybody's confused, like, who's gonna do the promo photo? Like, who's gonna do the promo video? And then I just said out loud, I'll do it. So that's how it started. I started doing the promo videos and the promo photos. My growth is great. Like, I got to do a keynote for the live show.
Yes,
with Lin-Manuel fucking Miranda.
Yes, son.
That's awesome.
Graphics editor for an episode with Lin-Manuel Miranda.
It was a great.
Put that on your resume.
It was a great experience. Chew on it. Even though I spent 9 hours on a certain video with Frank.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we remember that.
The infamous.
No, but.
9 hours is pretty good.
But no, but it was a good experience all around. I appreciated everybody that, you know, gave me props and everything else. It was great doing the Photoshops. It was nice to
have. And I thanked him on the show. I was like, yo, Zoo, your Photoshops are insane. He kept emailing me some funny ass shit. And I was like, all right, okay.
So, Tibby, we're going to keep this a consistent thing going over here with accountability. Right. We have a podcast. You are part of the team in the podcast.
Right.
What about you? When are you going to be coming out with your podcast?
There's so many ideas in my mind that I want to do because, for one, I am a wrestling fan. So I want to incorporate, because there's not a lot of Latino wrestling podcasts out there. But the wrestling and like the Latino world is so vague because the main wrestling company is not so good with the Latino wrestlers. I'm still learning new companies here and there. So I want to incorporate all that into one podcast and then hopefully do what you guys did for the Latino space.
Get it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Body slam that shit.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. But thank you guys for giving me the opportunities they gave me. I'm learning. I'm still learning. I'm learning how to do more editing. So it's great.
Excellent.
It's great. Thank you.
Makes me so happy.
Yes.
Woo! Time for Tibby.
You're. Thank you.
Tibby. And nice. Tibby, by the way, is so ride or die. Like, he supports everything we're doing here at the podcast, but then our individual stuff. Like, just so you guys know, he's been at every Comedy Derailed show.
Right.
He comes to Room 28 shows.
That's right.
He supports us in our endeavors across the board.
Like I said before joining the team, if you need my help in anything, I am there. And so far, I think I'm pretty good at that promise.
We love you, Tibby.
I think so.
We still got to go to your house and... eat a home cooked meal.
Listen.
Yeah, you keep inviting me.
So,
I can't toot my own horn, but I think I can. But I'm a pretty good cook, and I want you guys to come over to my house one day, you know.
Let's get this potluck popping, though.
Let's get this dinner party going. Oh, it's not that type of dinner party, though. Right?
Here we go. That was terrible usage. Terrible.
Wow. Yeah.
Terrible.
I think you dethroned me right there with the worst of that.
Terrible.
It's not going to get better.
You saved me.
It's not going to get better. You're right.